turn around. All our hopes have come to be, and people gather around. They offer all what they can bring, and no battle in with that. Only then the song sing, the revolution starts now.
Good afternoon, Richmond. Welcome to Indie Media Live, one of the most progressive half hours on the radio because we have no corporate sponsorship and no corporate control. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm here every Tuesday introducing you to people in our community who are passionately involved in the issues and causes that directly affect you and your family. We have a great show for you today. WRIR is dedicated to putting the news, the views, and the music on the air that get very little, if any, attention in mainstream media. And our show today is one such topic. We're going to be talking with Amy Bergman from the local group Richmond Friends of Animals about fur in fashion. And before we get to that, I want to bring you a couple of very special event announcements. The Vegetarian Society of Richmond is holding its annual vegan Thanksgiving potluck on Thanksgiving Day at 4 p.m. at the Friends Meeting House, 4500 Kensington Avenue. Bring a vegan dish to share. One of the things I love about being vegan is that cooking the vegan way can be very simple. You can just bring a bowl of beautiful apples or a bunch of grapes or bananas, and voila, you have a vegan dish. So please come out. This is not just for vegans. I often think that the Thanksgiving meal that the Vegetarian Society of Richmond puts on is more for meat eaters than it is for vegans. VegetarianRichmond.org. The Richmond Peace Education Center still has about 25 spaces available for teens to join the Richmond Youth Peace Project. There is going to be a free interactive program on preventing youth gun violence. No one is bulletproof. Teens talk about gun violence. This will be held on Tuesday, November the 30th. From 4:30 to 7 p.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, 815 East Gray Street, right here in Richmond. The program is going to include an icebreaker activity and pizza and excerpts from If I Only Had a Gun, small group discussions with other youth, and a panel featuring local activists and advocates and a victim of the shooting at Virginia Tech. This is a free event, and but you must register. It's co-sponsored by the Richmond Peace Education Center, by St. Paul's Episcopal Church, the Armstrong Leadership Program, and the Virginia Center for Public Safety. If you'd like to find out more about this event, or if you'd like to register your teen, Richmond Peace Education Center, 232-1002, or their website, www.rpec.org. And finally, we have an announcement for you from the Virginia Conservation Network. Dominion Virginia Power is proposing to build, just 5 miles from the Shenandoah National Park, a natural gas-fired power plant. And under the new citizen board law, which if you're a regular listener to Indie Media Live, you know something about, the State Air Pollution Control Board does not automatically any longer get to review major prevention of significant deterioration applications. Instead, now the default is that the Department of Environmental Quality staff and the director get the final say. If you'd like to hear or to find out more about this natural gas-fired power plant that Dominion Virginia Power is proposing to build, you can go to the website of vcnva.org. That is the website for the Virginia Conservation Network. The State Air Pollution Control Board and the Department of Environmental Quality are going to be taking comments from citizens until November the 24th, until tomorrow. The phone number for the Virginia Conservation Network is 644-0283. If you hear anything today on the show that you'd like to comment on, or if you are driving and miss some of those phone numbers, not to worry. Tim has our blog up, indiemedialive.blogspot.com, and all this information will be there. This show today will also be archived there, and you can listen to it over and over. Indie Media, I-N-D-Y, medialive.blogspot.com. I'm so glad to have Amy Bergman here today. She is a member of the Richmond group, Richmond Friends of Animals, and we are going to be talking about the fur industry. And what I'd like to suggest is that because some of the information that we're going to be talking about today is may be disturbing to some listeners and may be inappropriate for children, listeners' discretion is encouraged. I am looking here, Amy, for your bio, and I'm sorry, I don't see it right here, but I'd like to introduce people to you. Here it is. You are a member, as I said, of Richmond Friends of Animals, and you started getting involved with animal issues in college by volunteering at your local animal shelter, and you are the proud guardian of 3 rescue dogs, of 2 rescue gerbils, and 1 rescue horse. I'm so interested to hear about the horse.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Like she said, I'm Amy Bergman, here speaking for Richmond Friends of Animals. We would like to talk to you about educating people about the use of fur in fashion. And, of course, in my life, I do support animal rescue as well. So, as she said, I do have rescue animals of my own. But we care, in Richmond Friends of Animals, we care more about all animals, not just dogs and cats. We do speak up for anything from veal calves to circus elephants to anything else. So today we're here to talk about Fur Free Friday. We would like to encourage folks to come out on Friday, November 26th. That's the day after Thanksgiving. That is an annual event known as Fur Free Friday, where animal lovers around the world will help to educate holiday shoppers about the fur industry. Our particular event in Richmond is going to be held in the public strip in front of the Allen Furs, which is at 1515 North Parham Road. And our event will be held from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And we would just be holding signs helping to educate the public about the real cost of fur. Signs are provided, and if you would like to attend, you can RSVP to richmondfriendsofanimals@gmail.com. And we do also have a website that is richmondfriendsofanimals.org with a Facebook link as well.
Yeah, Fur Free Friday, as you said, is a national event. I know it's probably international, but it has been around for a very long time. And like you said, it's an event to promote and educate people about ways to be fashionable without involving fur. So let's talk a little bit about the fur. What the fur industry involves. How many animals are we talking about when we're talking about the fur industry?
Okay. Estimates are around 40 to 50 million animals who are killed annually for the fur industry. And that would include both full-length fur coats, but also, if you've noticed, in today the fashion seems to involve a lot of fur trim, and that industry is expected to overtake the full-length fur coat industry very soon, because you may have noticed fur coats, fur-lined gloves, fur collars. These are becoming more and more involved in fashion, and we are trying to speak out about the cruelty involved in creating those fur trim. Sometimes people think that the fur trim is fake, but often there's a problem with mislabeling of the fur, and it's very difficult to tell if the fur is actually real animal fur or a fake fur. And sometimes even the fur is dyed bright colors like pink or blue, which certainly makes it look fake. But unless there is a correct label on that garment, then the buyer cannot even tell if that item was actually the result of cruelty to an animal or if it is a fake product. So
is there a regulation that limits the amount of the garment and how they have to be labeled with regard to real fur or fake fur?
Sure. Currently, items under $150 in value require no label whatsoever. And so as you can imagine, most gloves or items that are smaller or less expensive than a full-length fur coat don't even require any labeling at all. So the consumer really has no idea whether they're buying a real fur, you know, animal coat or trim product, or whether it is a fake product.
So items like trim seem to me as if those are fashionable items, that they would serve no true utilitarian purpose. And when we're talking 40 to 50 million animals every year, that seems really staggering. Are these wild animals, Amy?
Some are wild animals. Wild animals are trapped in the wild using very cruel methods such as conibear traps or snares or the sort of traditional snap trap that you might be thinking in your head. And unfortunately, those are left out, and often non-target animals are also trapped in those traps as well. So dogs, cats, even endangered animals can be caught in those traps as well. And it's certainly a painful, you know, method to use to trap these wild animals. Often when the person comes back, that animal has been left without food or water in all weather conditions with, you know, a leg trapped, or sometimes it will snap around their neck or some other area of their body. And there have certainly been cases where animals have chewed off their own leg to escape a trap, which of course leaves them, you know, loose in the wild now with a grave injury. So it's definitely not a good thing for the animals, unfortunately. The American Veterinary Medical Association, or AVMA, and the American Animal Hospital Association have declared the steel jaw leg hold traps to be inhumane.
And I know that sometimes when those traps are laid out for animals in the wild, the domestic animals roaming in the woods, for example, might get caught in those traps as well?
True. There have been stories on the news. You may have heard one yourself even, of somebody's dog. They're out walking in the woods and suddenly their dog is trapped in one of these traps. So they certainly can be dangerous. I don't know of any specific cases of, you know, children getting caught in the traps, but it seems like that could certainly happen as well, because they are usually hidden, so that you might step in one without realizing it.
If you've just tuned in, it is 15 minutes before the hour, and this is Indie Media Live on WRIR. I'm your host, Rebecca Ferris, and I'm talking with Amy Bergman, one of the members of Richmond Friends of Animals. Amy, one of the reasons I wanted to invite you on is because Friends of Animals pays attention to not just the dogs and cats, but to the animals that are so often forgotten about. However, when we're talking about fur trim as a fashion statement, I have read that sometimes the fur trim is not from a fur-bearing animal, but from a dog or a cat.
This is true. In China, for example, and a lot of the furs and fur trims are coming from China these days. In China, they don't have the same animal protection laws that we do in the States. And as a result, many dogs and cats actually are used for their fur. And there are videos online, certainly, that you can watch that shows these standard industry practices. But if somebody is concerned about, you know, not just wearing a fur coat from, you know, a fox or a rabbit, but from a dog or a cat, that is something certainly with the current labeling laws that do not provide that kind of detailed information. It is very possible that a fur trim item that you buy could be from a dog or a cat.
If we wanted to talk about alternatives. Are there fashion alternatives
Absolutely.
To fur trim?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, many of the synthetic materials are deemed better than fur garments. So, you know, of course, in the United States, a lot of the history of the United States was built on the fur industry, but it's no longer needs to be that way. People can certainly choose to purchase synthetic coats, gloves without any fur trim with, you know, faux fleece that is certainly warmer and protects better against rain and wind.
If people would like to find out more about some of these issues and about some of these fashion options, we have a lot of websites that are out there. This is an issue that is of concern to a growing number of people across the country. What are some of your websites that you would recommend?
Okay, sure. One of the ones that I have utilized is bornfreeusa.org. That is one website that I've gone to. There's another that is Infurmation, but it's spelled like fur, so it's I-N-F-U-R, Infurmation.com. And they have some facts about the fur industry there as well. And if anybody is interested in wanting the look of fur without endangering any animals, they can certainly go to this website is fabulousfurs.com. And those are all faux furs. And they have everything from coats to handbags to throws for the house as well.
These days in the 21st century, people have a choice. To choose the compassionate, kind way of making a fashion statement. Now, we talked about animals in the wild, but are there animals that are, I don't even know how to say this.
Farmed?
That are grown mm-hmm. purposely mm-hmm. for their furs?
Yes, there are. I like to say raised for their furs since they are mm-hmm. live animals. I hear the term grown a lot because it's almost like they want us to equate it with a crop in the field. But unfortunately, yes, there are fur farms both in the States and abroad. And that is not a pleasant environment for the animals either. Unfortunately, the animals are usually kept in very large, you know, warehouse type environments with wire cages. And if you've ever seen one of the videos online, you can see that the animals kept, you know, not able to participate in their natural behavior. They'll often go essentially what's called cage crazy, where they're spinning in circles or, chewing on each other. They're in a high stress environment. So unfortunately that shows on them.
Sometimes we talk about, oh, well, not to worry, it's a fashion statement, and the fur is just a byproduct of other industries, of the meat industry, for example, with rabbits. Mm-hmm. How would you respond to that?
Sure. That's something that I think people often use to make it okay to use fur, thinking that it's just a byproduct of a meat industry. It's something that's commonly stated in terms of wearing leather, too. They often state that that's just a byproduct of the meat industry. But in fact, it's not true. If you look at some of the factual websites, rabbit fur, for example, is used separately. It's not as a result of raising rabbits for meat, for example. They have videos that show where they've taken the pelt from the animal and just disposed of the body of the animal. So they weren't actually using the meat for any purpose. They really wanted just the fur coat.
You know, these days we hear so much about global warming and about climate change. And on this show, Indie Media Live, we've talked an awful lot about some of the environmental concerns of choosing to eat meat. Are there the same types of environmental concerns with choosing to wear animal fur?
There are actually grave environmental concerns. For example, when you have that number of animals kept in the fur farm environment, that's a lot of animals together and a lot of excrement, essentially, which can contaminate local water supplies, just the same as a large dairy farm or pig farm. And there have been a lot of reports out there talking about the environmental concerns of that kind of factory farming environment. And it's very similar with fur farming. And in addition, there's an estimate out there that says it takes 20 times more energy to produce a farmed fur coat than a synthetic fur coat. And in addition, the chemicals used to basically essentially stop the rotting process, because, you know, that fur coat has the skin attached, essentially. So they need to use a lot of chemicals to stop that degradation process from happening. And those are very carcinogenic and highly toxic chemicals that they're using. So there is definitely an environmental concern as well.
We all hear every year about the Canadian seal slaughter. Are those seals slaughtered for their fur as well? I mean, people don't think about seals as being a fur-bearing animal, but of course, if you're a mammal, you have, you know, hair. But that has been something that people have been concerned about for many years.
They are, and the seals are essentially, when they're slaughtered for their fur, it's when they're babies. That's when they have the fur coat before they lose that. And so, unfortunately, in that industry, that's attracted perhaps more attention than others, because it's actually a baby, essentially, that's being killed for the fur. And they're killed very young, usually before they've even had their first meal or before they've even gone swimming or anything like that. They haven't lost that fur coat yet, so that's when they are the target animal, unfortunately.
If you've just tuned in, it is 7 minutes before the hour. Indie Media Live on WRIR. We're talking with Amy Bergman about the fur, the choices that people have instead of wearing fur. Amy, I know that your group is going to be gathering on Parham Road, I think,
correct,
on Friday after Thanksgiving, mm-hmm, from 12 until 2. And if people would like to find out more about that event, you have a website as well.
We do. It's richmondfriendsofanimals.org. Or if anybody wants to participate, they can RSVP at richmondfriendsofanimals@gmail.com.
We are also, you know, Richmond Friends of Animals is involved, as I said, in a lot of the causes or the issues, rather, that are not necessarily concerned with domestic animals like dogs and cats. I know that you have also had some interest in the treatment of animals in circuses. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us briefly about that?
Sure. We have participated in an educational event educating the public about the treatment of circus animals for a couple of years now. And basically, the animals are carted from one town to another, constantly living in a rail car usually, and it's very stressful environment for them to be shipped around constantly and then be forced to perform unnatural behaviors in front of very large and very noisy audiences. And so it's very stressful on the animals. And unfortunately, there have been cases, you know, that the public has, for example, been endangered when an animal has basically broken down from the stress of this environment and, you know, ran through the audience or ran through the city streets trying to escape that environment. So we think that there's not only a concern in terms of the treatment of the animals, but in terms of public safety as well.
And I know that your group has also been involved in helping to educate the public as to the issues with veal.
We have. We have done a couple of veal protests in town, as well as foie gras. And we disagree with folks using that in restaurants. And so we have held educational events trying to inform people about it. You know, not a lot of people actually even know. They don't know about how calves are treated in the veal industry, and most people don't even know what foie gras is. So a lot of that is just educating them that that involves what we feel is mistreatment of the animals, and hopefully they will choose something else to eat for dinner instead.
Can you tell our listeners what foie gras is?
Sure. Foie gras is essentially the fatty liver of a goose or a duck. We say it's a diseased liver. The animal is essentially force-fed grain until their liver enlarges very unnaturally, and then they are killed for that liver, and it's considered to be a delicacy, but I can really think of nothing more disgusting.
I really appreciate all the work that you guys are doing, and I thank you so much for being here and helping to educate all of us as to our choices. If you want to make a fashion statement without involving the slaughter of live animals, could you give us that website again?
Sure. There's fabulousfurs.com, which is all faux fur.
Fabulousfurs.com. Amy, thank you so much for being here. We have like 1 minute left. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how, you know, you came to this time in your life, how you came to these issues.
Sure. I always say that it started when I was in a car accident and received a payout for my pain and suffering. And I felt a little weird about taking that money. So I donated it instead to some animal organizations. And I got on their mailing lists. And I started to get all of the leaflets and materials. And as I read all of the information, I just really could not put my head in the sand anymore. I really had to take action. So I became vegan and started to get involved with groups like Richmond Friends of Animals.
Well, thank you so much for helping to educate all of us today and for helping us all to widen our circles of compassion to include some of the other beautiful animals with whom we share this planet. Amy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. On behalf of Tim Duggan, my engineer extraordinaire and blog master, and Jesse in the booth and all the other wonderful volunteers at WRIR who make Indie Media Live possible, thank you all for listening. During this season of giving thanks, please know how much we appreciate your support. Remember that if you hear anything on Indie Media Live that you'd like to comment on or you'd like to find out more about, go to our blog, indiemedialive.blogspot.com. Until next week, be kind to yourselves, be kind to each other, and be kind to the animals and to the earth. But don't be silent, because silence is the voice of complicity. We wish you and the whole world peace.